Good morning. This is Pastor Bob McLavy of the Presbyterian Church of Floyd, and I want to welcome you to a special time of worship. This morning we're going to be taking a look at a very important question, especially in our society today. The title of my message is, What is Truth? It's a subject that's been very much on my mind lately, as I see truth being degraded all around us in the world. And it seems to me that as Christians, we need to come face to face with this question, what is truth? And especially we need to understand in our own minds why truth is so important. So this morning, we'll have a message on what is truth. We'll also have a song by Alan Vest, a beautiful old song called When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Oh, that's one of those old ones that I'm sure some of you will be hearing for the first time, and some will probably know it as a very familiar old hymn. So as we prepare this morning, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we seek to know your truth, we pray that you will indeed inspire us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and knowledge. Give us the ability to discern your word. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And we pray that you will guide us as we hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, this morning we're going to begin with Scripture. Out of the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 5 through 11, again, we turn to the words of Jesus. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as we seek to understand truth in our lives as Christians, it's essential that we recognize that truth in the world around us and truth in the Word of God cannot be subject to the whims and agendas of society. There must be a rock-solid foundation for truth. And because of our faith, our profession that we believe in a triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we must be unwavering in our determination to seek the truth in all circumstances. Today, as we see truth under attack, our determination must become even more urgent. The more we study, the more light is shed on our understanding. It is hard mental work, but it is also spiritual work. In fact, we are utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit to teach us truth. Because, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That's right. But the way the Holy Spirit gives us understanding is through our minds, employing our rational faculties. Now let's look at some scripture passages addressing this. Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 18 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And Ephesians 4, verse 25 says, Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 8 says, For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Yes, we believe the truth is logical. It is coherent. It is intelligible. It is something that we can, in fact, understand. And not only can truth be known rationally, in fact, it cannot be known at all if we abandon rationality. When God gave the Bible, he meant for it to be understood. And as we seek to understand truth, then, let's turn to Scripture. When Jesus was praying for his disciples, just before he was arrested, he prayed this. He said, My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Those are Jesus' words praying to God the Father, as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 19. Well, ask anyone today, what is truth? And you're sure to start an interesting conversation. Yes, the concept of truth has clearly fallen on hard times. And I think all of us recognize that the consequences are creating a very uncomfortable world around us. So let's go back to the starting point and answer the question, what is truth? One of the most profound and eternally significant questions in the Bible was posed by an unbeliever. It was Pontius Pilate, the man who handed Jesus over to be crucified, turned to Jesus in his final hour and asked, "What is truth?" It was a rhetorical question, a cynical response to what Jesus had just revealed. Jesus had just said to him, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth." And Pilate's response was, "What is truth?" 2,000 years later, the whole world breathes Pilate's cynicism. Some say truth is a power play, a meta-narrative constructed by the elite for the purpose of controlling the ignorant masses. To some, truth is subjective, the individual world of preference and opinion. Whatever we want truth to be is what truth is. Others believe truth is a collective judgment, the product of some kind of cultural consensus. And then there are others who just simply deny the concept of truth altogether. They say truth doesn't matter. So what is truth? Well, here's a simple definition drawn from what the Bible teaches. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Or even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. That is the biblical meaning of truth, because the definition of truth flows from God. And so, therefore, truth is theological. But you know, we could also say that truth is the way things really are. Reality is what it is because God declared it so and made it so. God is the author, the source, the determiner, the governor, the arbiter, and the ultimate standard of all truth. And yes, he will be the final judge of all truth. The Old Testament refers to the Almighty as the God of truth. We see those words in Deuteronomy and in Psalm and in Isaiah. When Jesus said of himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life," the passage that we just heard out of John 14, Jesus was making a profound claim about his own deity. He was also making it clear that all truth must ultimately be defined in terms of God and his eternal glory. After all, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. We know that from Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is truth incarnate, the perfect expression of God, and therefore the absolute embodiment of all that is true. Jesus also said that the written word of God is truth. It does not merely contain nuggets of truth. It is pure, unchangeable, inviolable truth. And that, according to Jesus, cannot be broken. Praying to his heavenly Father on behalf of his disciples, Jesus said this, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The word of God is eternal truth. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "The word of God is eternal truth, which lives and abides forever." It is eternal. Of course, there cannot be any difference of opinion between the written word of God, that would be Scripture, and the incarnate Word of God, which is Jesus. In the first place, truth, by definition, cannot contradict itself. And second, Scripture is called the Word of Christ in Colossians 3, It is his message, Jesus' self-expression. In other words, the truth of Christ and the truth of the Bible are of the very same character. They are in perfect agreement and harmony in every respect. Both are equally true. God has revealed himself to humanity through Scripture and through his Son, and both perfectly embody the essence of what truth is. That's why Jesus was able to speak in ways that astounded the church leaders and the scholars of his time, because he was speaking the truth. Now remember, Scripture also says God reveals basic truth about himself in nature. The heavens declare his glory, we know from Psalm 19. His other invisible attributes, such as his wisdom, power, and beauty, are on constant display in what he has created. We know that from Romans 1. Also in Romans 1, knowledge of him is inborn in the human heart, and a sense of the moral character and loftiness of his law is implicit in every human conscience. Those things are universally self-evident truths. According to Romans 1, verse 20, denial of the spiritual truths we know innately always involves a deliberate and culpable unbelief. And for those who wonder whether basic truths about God and his moral standards really are stamped on the human heart, ample proof can be found in the long history of human law and religion. To suppress this truth is to dishonor God, to displace his glory, and to incur his wrath. And still, the only infallible interpreter of what we see in nature or know innately in our own conscience is the explicit revelation that comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture is also known as the one place where we are given the way of salvation, entrance into the kingdom of God. And that is an infallible account of Christ. The Bible is the touchstone to which all truth claims should be brought, and by which all other truth must finally be measured. You know, an obvious corollary of what I'm saying is that truth means nothing apart from God. Truth cannot be adequately explained, recognized, understood, or even defined without God as the source. And since he alone is eternal and self-existent, and he alone is the creator of all else, God is the foundation of all truth. And if you don't believe that, try defining truth without reference to God and see how quickly all such definitions fail. The moment you begin to ponder the essence of truth, you are brought face to face with the requirement of a universal absolute, the eternal reality of God. It's the only universal absolute that we know of in the world. Conversely, the whole concept of truth instantly becomes nonsense, and every imagination of the human heart turns to sheer foolishness as soon as people attempt to remove the thought of God from their minds. And that, of course, is precisely how the Apostle Paul traced the relentless decline of human ideas in Romans 1, verses 21 and 22. He says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Wow, that's Romans 1, verses 21 and 22. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. And then it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And you know, there are very serious moral implications too, whenever someone tries to disassociate truth from the knowledge of God. Paul went on to write in Romans 1, verse 28, that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So in other words, abandon a biblical definition of truth and unrighteousness, living an ungodly life, is, of course, the inescapable result. And unfortunately, we see it happening before our very eyes in every corner of contemporary society. If you reflect on the subject with any degree of sobriety, you will soon see that even the most fundamental moral distinctions, good and evil, right and wrong, beauty and ugliness, or honor and dishonor, they cannot possibly have any true or constant meaning apart from God. And that is because truth and knowledge themselves simply have no coherent significance apart from a fixed source, and that fixed source we know to be God. How could they? God embodies the very definition of truth. Every claim that is apart from Him is no truth at all. It's preposterous. It has no foundation. Now, there have been elaborate, what we know as epistemologies. Those are theories of knowledge. So let me say, there have been elaborate theories of knowledge that have been proposed and methodically debunked one after another, like a long chain in which every previous link is broken. Yes, after thousands of years, the very best of human philosophers and their great minds, those great philosophers such as Socrates and Plato, Aristotle, Descartes, Locke, Kant, Hegel, Kierkegaard, Nietzsche, Marx, all men with great minds, but they have all utterly failed to account for truth and the origin of human knowledge apart from God. They cannot do it. In fact, the one most valuable lesson humanity ought to have learned from philosophy is that it is impossible to make sense of truth without acknowledging God as the necessary starting point. Truth is not subjective. It is not a consensual cultural construct. It is not an invalid or outdated or irrelevant concept. Truth is the self-expression of God that never, never becomes outdated or irrelevant. Perhaps it becomes more relevant every day that we are on this earth apart from God. In fact, the one most valuable lesson humanity ought to have learned is that there is no way to make sense of truth without acknowledging that God is the source. Yes, truth is theological. It is the reality that God has created and defined, and it is the reality over which He rules. Truth is, therefore, a moral issue for every human being. How each person responds to the truth God has revealed is an issue of eternal significance. We know from our faith, and from our study of Scripture, and from the teachings of Jesus Christ, to reject and rebel against the truth of God results only in darkness. It results in folly, sin, and judgment. And ultimately, it results in the never-ending wrath of God. To accept and submit to the truth of God is to see clearly, to know with certainty, and to find life everlasting. So, friends, as we seek to understand truth, as we seek to come to grips with what truth really is and the significance of truth in our lives, let us hold on to that hope that is given to us by God's grace. And that is to accept and to submit to the truth of God is to see clearly and to know with certainty that we have found life everlasting when we recognize that God is the truth. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy the great old hymn, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder," a hymn by J.M. Black, the original author of this hymn, today arranged and performed by our own Alan Vest. Here is "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder."
There, when the road
Our thanks to Alan for his faithfulness in giving us another song. This one, an oldie but goodie. Well, friends, as we face another week, as we begin this next week, on Sunday, as we celebrate our Declaration of Independence on July 4th, let us give serious, serious thought to what it means to get back to truth in our world, to hold truth up as a foundation for our society, and let us look to God as the foundation of that truth. Thank you for listening.